The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Federal officials now have a suspect in custody for firebombing the Madison office of a pro-life group last year. A pair of Molotov cocktails were tossed into the Wisconsin Family Action Office. Happened in May, and someone spray-painted the phrase, "If abortions aren't safe, then you aren't either," on the side of the building. Evidence from the scene was eventually linked back to the suspect after investigators found matching DNA from a half-eaten burrito. This morning, they arrested 29-year-old Hirindu Raychaudhuri at Boston's airport before he could board a one-way flight to Guatemala. He'll be back in federal court on Thursday.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, so that's some good news. An arrest has been made on that attack on this pro-life clinic. Before I get to this story, and I do want to continue to follow these stories. You know, we decry the failure, let's say, of the FBI or the Justice Department to do anything. But when arrests are made, I think it's really important to highlight that. Before we do, though, there's some big news that I do want to share with you. It came across my radar moments ago, and we're trying to track this. The Holy Father has been admitted to the Gemelli clinic in Rome. That's the Pope Clinico Gemelli. And the BBC was reporting the Pope is being kept in the hospital for checks after attending a scheduled appointment. You know, there was a lot of news that was buzzing initially. The Holy Father's closest staff, including some security, they're saying that he's expected to stay the night at the hospital. They canceled, from what I had seen, all of his audiences for the next 2 days. CBS News was just reporting that he's in there for a respiratory infection. Somebody who is relatively close and in the know with some church contacts was saying that it is possible it could have been a heart attack. So we don't know, and I don't want to report any misinformation at this particular time, but I just want to ask you to pray for our Holy Father right now, and we'll let you know. There's unconfirmed reports, and usually they're reliable. They come from one source that the Pope may have had a heart attack. If we see it and we get that news, we'll confirm it. As I said, CBS is saying respiratory infection. But the Pope, his schedule has been canceled for 2 days, so that means he's going to be in the hospital recovering. Again, he's old. You got to remember that. I remember George Weigel. He's the papal biographer, one of the foremost experts in the nation on the papacy. He told me, he was on the air with me maybe a couple months ago, and I asked him off air. I had a conversation. I said, how's this Holy Father doing? And he says, Drew, he's not well. He's just not well. So I don't know what that means. You know, the Holy Father, Pope Francis, had said that his pontificate would be a short one. He's been in office quite a while. We just celebrated the anniversary not too long ago, right? So I don't know. We'll have to just pray for him. The medical checks, they're saying, are going to continue as long as necessary. It's not clear whether a new ailment prompted the visit to the hospital. The Vatican spokesperson there, Matteo Bruni, he said that the Pope was taken to the hospital for some, quote, previously scheduled checks. So we'll monitor the situation. He said it's new. It's just breaking. So not a whole lot out there being reported on it. So what can you do? Pray, right? What can we do? Just pray. Let's say a prayer for the Holy Father. Maggie, let's pray for him right now. We'll entrust him to Our Lady. Let's pray the Memorare for the Pontiff, the Vicar of Christ on earth. And I just can only imagine how many souls around the country and the world will join me right now in asking for God's mercy on the Pontiff. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Remember, most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petition, but in your mercy hear and answer me. Amen. We just pray for the Holy Father, dear Lady. Draw him close to you and bring him to your Son for the healing he needs. Pray for our church, too, which is under a lot of attack. There's a lot going on right now. We're going to talk a little bit later about what has been called swatting. I don't know if you've heard about what was unfolding in schools in the country. False alarms. I'll get into that coming up in a moment. But before I do that, little bit of good news for you. I think this is a real positive. Another arrest has been made in the attacks in those pro-life clinics. You know, we've decried the failure to really follow up on them. They're dragging people out of their home in the middle of the night who are pro-life, but we're not seeing any of these people who are threatening, you know, revenge and more destruction and violence. We are now. Federal authorities caught an individual by the name of Rindu, and I hope I get the name right, Sankar. You want to help me out with this, Maggie? Is it Roy Chowdhury? Is that how you say the name? Roy Chowdhury? I'm going to go with that. They arrested him for that firebombing in Boston. They arrested him in Boston for the firebombing of the Wisconsin Family Action Pro-Life Clinic in Madison of last year. That was a pretty serious one. He'll do serious time, I would think. We'll see. Who knows? That's a pretty serious crime. But that was the first pro-life organization to be targeted right after Dobbs was leaked and Roe was overturned. And we thought, uh-oh, here we go. Violence, right? The FBI said they got DNA samples, as you heard in a piece of audio that Maggie ran from the crime scene. They got it from a burrito, a half-eaten burrito. What's the lesson there? Finish all your food, right? No, I shouldn't be kidding around. But he must have been chopping down on this thing after he threw the Molotov cocktail and tossed it on the ground. It's like, what? You know, what's in the mind of some of these people, right? Anyway, they got his DNA from the scene and were able to trace him down. And they found him in Boston where they grabbed a food wrapper that he had also tossed. And he apparently was scheduled on a one-way flight from Boston to Guatemala, and they caught up with him. So, good job. My accolades for that. Getting out of the country. Let me get to Central America was the plan, right? I got caught. Catholic Vote is reporting that that Obamacare is requiring employers to pay for abortifacients and contraception in their insurance plans. I don't know if you heard about this. This has been in litigation forever, right? Hobby Lobby, the Little Sisters of the Poor cases. Remember all this stuff? We've dealt with it forever. And the Trump administration took action. Well, there's an exemption right now for employers with a religious or moral objection. Hello, Little Sisters, right? Hello, Relevant Radio. Hello, you know, Hobby Lobby or people who say, look, we don't agree with this. Well, the Biden administration, and look, this is not political. People say, oh, you're so political. I'm not listening anymore because you're so political. This is not about politics. I don't care if the person wears blue or red. Anybody who wants to destroy innocent life, who wants to indoctrinate children, who want to spread evil, I'm going to call them out. And if you don't like it, then great. Go listen to something that you do like, right? I hate to be so crass about it, but that's the bottom line. This is not about politics. This is about a culture war that is going on in our country right now, right? It's a battle between good and evil. When you've got an administration that's coming forward again and proposing new regulations to revoke this moral exemption, why would you do that? Why can't you leave the Little Sisters of the Poor alone? I mean, why do you have to force them to comply with something that they morally and conscientiously object to? And that is downright evil at its core. It's wrong, right? Why? So, you know, groups which are not explicitly religious but object to paying for abortion and contraception on moral grounds, they're going to be forced to pay for them. So, you know, where does that put Relevant Radio? I'm hoping we're covered under that religious umbrella. But who knows? I can think, what about Hobby Lobby? What about somebody? What about your business? Right? A lot of small business owners out there. According to the administration, about 100 employers covering 125,000 employees, groups like March for Life, which are currently exempt, March for Life would have to comply. I mean, this is the insanity that we are living with. I don't know how to. I'm trying to cap my frustration. Why would this Catholic president and this administration want to force feed the March for Life to pay for abortifacients? Right? Why would you make this group who wants nothing to do with it and is fighting against it? Why would you have them pay for abortifacients and contraception? Maggie said to me earlier, it's cruel. And Maggie, you're absolutely right. That's exactly what it is. It's cruel. It's evil. That's what it is. So, you know, I'm going to pray for the March for Life. I one of the things you can do, and I want to applaud Catholic Vote, good organization out there. They have a Stop the HHS Mandate link. Send a message to the HHS. You can go there and do it, or just look them up online and oppose the rule change. It's unnecessary. It is unnecessary. But the big picture here, and I've said it before, this is not simply about roles. It's about something far more than that. It's a religion, right? It's about the culture of death. It's about worshiping at that altar of human sacrifice. That's what this is all about. Nothing can impede that. So you've got this administration doing this. And I you know, some people, you know, they put their politics before their religion. And I think that's unfortunate. I really do. This is not about politics. This is about innocence being destroyed and violated. I also saw that the Biden administration wants your taxpayer dollars to do something else. You know what else they want to do? I don't know how you feel about it. Maybe you're pro this. They want you to pay for transgender medicine and surgery for kids through the Children's Health Insurance Program. Yeah, Maggie's saying, no way. Representative Andy Harris, he's from Maryland, asked the HHS Secretary Xavier Becerra. I'll quote him. He said this. He says, these are gender mutilating surgeries. All right, let me just stop on those five words. You're right. These are gender mutilating surgeries. That's a brilliant description. Clear and extremely descriptive of what's happening here. And he goes on to say, do you really want to pay for that under the CHIPS program? Is the president serious? He says. He wants to take your childhood health insurance program to pay for this? Yes. And what did Becerra say? He answered him saying, well, we want to make sure that everyone in America has access to health care that they need, whether you're a child or an adult. Yeah. I hear these politicians talking about protecting reproductive health care, making sure health care is accessible. It's all a ruse. You know, it's all a massive deception. It's all about empty words. They use these nice, clean, antiseptic words to really make a case for what they want. You know, and bravo to you, Representative Harris. Bravo. I'm delighted to grill Becerra for this. A bit of good news from Congress, though. Let me give you a little bit of positive news here as well. Those are two things to pray about, though, and also to really, really write your elected officials. And look, elections have consequences, right? Your vote does matter. You're going to have other consequences. You have to know where your candidate stands on these issues. Know where they stand. Because otherwise, you're going to get more of this stuff, and it's going to get force-fed to you. It's going to get force-fed to the March to Life. It's going to get force-fed to the Little Sisters. It'll be force-fed to Relevant Radio. It's going to be force-fed to you. So know that your vote has consequence. A little bit of good news, though, from Congress. Fox News reported that the representative, Chip Roy, he's from Texas, is leading an effort to amend the so-called Respect for Marriage Act. And that law is supposed to protect so-called same-sex marriages, but it has no protections in it for people who oppose the idea that two people of the same sex, you know, really can't get married. So Roy and 23 other House Republicans, they went ahead and asked the House Appropriations Committee leadership to include these new protections in a spending bill for the next fiscal year. And he wants to add, this guy Roy wants to add language that prohibits the federal government from taking, and I'll quote him, any discriminatory action against a person wholly or partially on the basis that such person speaks or acts in accordance with sincerely held religious beliefs or moral convictions, that is marriage, or should be recognized as a union of one man or one woman. So bravo to him as well. So there is some good news out there. The battle, I guess, continues, and you and I, we can do our part and pray. There was another story, and Dr. Eugene Gahn is going to be stopping by. We're going to get him on for this. This is a pretty big story. I was talking a little bit earlier today. You probably heard about the rising concern when it comes to artificial intelligence in this country. And I've talked about it in the past. I'm pro AI. I think it's great. But, boy, there are some real dangers with it. You know, and I think that's where we have to be. We have to show caution and pause. Just as the internet's neutral, I think AI could be, unless it's programmed with a bias, and that can certainly be the case. We came across a story just earlier today, a story that broke this morning in the state of Pennsylvania. Apparently, there were a series of computer-generated calls. I don't know if you heard this. Claiming that there were shooters, right? Shooters at a number of schools across the state, including two Catholic schools in downtown Pittsburgh. Now, this comes on the heel of a shooting that we just saw, right? The horror that just took place in Nashville. Too many shootings, right? So now you're hearing multiple shooters in schools in the state of Pennsylvania, including two Catholic schools in downtown Pittsburgh. Well, Catholic Central and Oakland Catholic High Schools were evacuated after their the claims there was somebody in there shooting. I can't imagine the horror that the parents heard about. That's my kid's school. Oh, my gosh, I hope my child's alive. Or the husband whose wife is teaching there, right? The report said there were six casualties. Now, please don't go away because I want to make sure you don't misinterpret what's being said, okay? These were reports that came out. There was no shooter, okay? This is not another mass shooting. There was no evidence of this occurring. Similar calls were placed in the eastern part of the state and also in Massachusetts. There was a story out of the Boston Globe that was reporting that as well. And last week, of course, there were hoax calls coming from supposedly school shooting in Ohio. Obviously, there's something behind this. This did not happen. Okay. We saw what happened down in Nashville. This is what they call swatting. And as I said, we'll talk to Dr. Gahn about this. These are computer generated calls that are absolutely creating havoc. My question, I was talking to Maggie about this right before the show began. Could this be AI? Could somebody write a script for this? Keep their anonymity and have these computer-generated phone calls go out to these schools creating havoc. Obviously, whoever's behind it, they need to be found, and there needs to be consequences. Because a hoax like this is serious. People can really get hurt. And the other aspect of this, it takes first responders away from protecting the community. Think of the innocent people who could have used the services of law enforcement who may not have had them that day. And it puts innocent people in harm's way. Something else here, too. And this is what we're going to talk to Dr. Gahn about. Because you're going to see more of this. I'm telling you right now. This is just the beginning, I believe. These calls were computer-generated. So they could have come from anywhere. Not even here in the States. I don't know where they came from. Could have been Siberia. Could have been South Africa. Could have been anywhere. And that's the problem. We don't know. And it's going to take a lot of computer forensics to figure out where they're coming from. The call seemed very authentic, according to police, who throughout three states believe that they were real. And you've got to take any claim like that in a school with the utmost seriousness, right, and urgency. If that's what's going on today with our technology, imagine what's going to happen with advanced artificial intelligence. We are racing down a super highway. Maggie and I had this conversation before the show about, can you remember when the internet first came about, right? How slow it was with dial-up and all this stuff. But look how it revolutionized the world, right? Online teaching and Zoom and Amazon became a company, created one of the richest men in the world. It took a little while for the internet to take off and then that industry. The cell phone was the same way. AI, it's going to be like a rocket ship taking off. It's not going to take decades. It's going to take a heartbeat, and it's going to infiltrate every people are racing to do this today. Elon Musk, and a group of 1,000 artificial intelligence experts. Musk was one of these 1,000, right? And also, I shouldn't leave these guys out either. There's industry executives there. They issued an open letter, and they're calling for a pause. They want a 6-month pause. They said, hey, hold on, let's pump the brakes for a minute. We got to stop the roll here. We got to stop developing these powerful systems, because right now there are systems that are in works that are more powerful than OpenAI's new GPT, right? GPT-4. And the leaders, these guys who know this industry intimately, they cited potential risks to society and to humanity. The letter said this, and I'll just share a sentence from it. Powerful AI systems should be developed only once we're confident that their effects will be positive and their risks will be manageable. There's a threat that this can be turned against the human race. I'm joined right now by Dr. Eugene Gahn, faculty associate at the Veritas Center and a professor of interactive media, communications, and fine arts at Franciscan University of Steubenville. Also the author of a book called Infinite Bandwidth. He's been with us many times. It's always good to tap into his expertise. Check him out online at eugenegahn.weebly.com. And I'll give you that address again. I'll tell you how to spell it. But let me first welcome the good doctor. Doctor, thank you for joining us.
Hey, it's good to be with you again, Drew.
I always appreciate our conversations. Thought of you I heard about Musk wanting to pump the brakes on how rapidly this runaway train with AI is going. But then I, on the heels of that, you know, I hang up with my producer this morning and I see this story about automated calls to schools and do a little research and see it's not just Pennsylvania. Let's start there. Obviously, we don't know the details of what happened with those hoax calls. I'm assuming these were automated. It could be an individual. What triggers something like that? Could it be AI? Could it be somebody in some remote country, Iran? I mean, who knows? That's causing this chaos. What do you know? How do we look at this?
Well, certainly, as you said, who knows? And we don't know for sure. But certainly AI could be involved because, as we talked about this multiple times before, and I was already saying this late last year, that everything that we are looking at, listening to, online, on the phone, from now onwards, or from then onwards, as I was saying, we need to be very cautious with. Because AI could be used to generate it. AI could be used to generate an image of you and have you be calling people because all they need is a couple of seconds sample of your voice. And Drew, for your voice, I think they have plenty of ours. Yeah.
That's for sure. You know, it's funny you say that because Tom, who I you probably spoke to earlier today, one of my producers who does booking for us, he said to me that there was footage of Donald Trump being arrested. And it was generated by AI, and boy, he says, it looked real.
Absolutely. There have been multiple instances of this already. One of them, you know, this YouTube channel person, he put together this AI image of Elon Musk and posted it online. It drew a lot of attention, millions of views in a short amount of time, including Elon himself saying, you wouldn't catch me in that suit. You know, but the fact is that, and it was putting Elon Musk with another person, dating another person, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's realistic looking. You could have AI generate images of you, your voice, and impersonate you. In fact, there already have been cases of some of the elderly who have been robbed of their money from calls generated by AI, sounds exactly like their relatives asking for money.
I never thought of that because that's a very common scam where somebody imitates their grandchild and says, hey, I need help, or I'm stranded, or I'm arrested.
Right.
But imagine the voice. If I called my wife, I'm overseas, she knows I'm traveling, and so does the country because they know I'm not on the air. I might have said, hey, I'm going to be out. And all of a sudden, my wife gets a phone call from me and says, honey, please, you got to go to the bank account right now and send it to this account. You know, she may just do it. She may think it's me because, you know, I heard that Rogan does that. Joe Rogan's producer will write their promos. I think you type them up into a computer and they digitally create his image as though he's having this conversation or delivering it. So that's a frightening thought about what that means for the future.
Absolutely does. In fact, they are even looking into, for lack of a better term, plugins for these for AI. In other words, you could start to modularize. You could start to add different capacities, things that the AI could do. Some of them are even talking about paying for these different levels of AI. So much so that, and some of these plugins could allow access to things like Google Drive, your Google Drive, your Google account, so that your emails are seen and known. And it therefore, for you know, you were saying that if you left the country for a spell, it would know that you have left the country even without you having been on the air or off the air in this case. It would know that you've left the country, and it could make those calls. It can initiate the calls and have it be exactly your voice, or it could even have a video of you.
Wow. We'll talk about that. In fact, let me do this. Let me take a short pause. When we come back, we can pick it up on that. I want to open the phones, too. If you want to get in, sound off, let us know what you're seeing, hearing, what your concerns are, where you see this going. Is it a blessing? Is it a curse? You can join Dr. Eugene Gahn. You can join me. Pull up a chair at 888-914-9149. It's your direct line to the conversation. Taking a look at AI, big news today with these automated calls and, of course, with Elon Musk and 1,000 others saying we need to stop immediately before things get out of control. More conversation straight ahead. Stay with us.
Connecting you to the truths of your Catholic faith. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
Get informed and get connected. It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, it's great to be with you today. Thank you for joining me. If you are just tuning in, some news, some flags being waved, some warning signs. A group of artificial intelligence experts, number of industry executives, something like 1,000 of them, including Elon Musk, they just signed an open letter calling for a six-month pause in developing systems that are more powerful than OpenAI's newly launched GPT-4. For these men and women to come out, these experts, to say we need to stop, I think we should all pay attention right now. There's a lot of money to be made. Nations like China and others are racing to develop this technology going to be used across so many different platforms. The letter was, it was a call for a pause. They're saying 6 months on advanced AI development until we have some sort of safety protocols developed. And I think it's a really good idea. So you have this chorus of ethical and legal concerns coming up. Look at the misuse. Imagine the phishing attempts. Imagine the disinformation. Imagine the cyber crime, as we've been talking about a little bit earlier with Dr. Eugene Gahn. Where will this lead? I think we are in the advent of something so critical. We think back to the invention of the printing press and how that changed everything for society, right? The Industrial Revolution. Think about how that transformed society and electricity, what that has done, right? Now, take a look at these giant leaps. The internet comes along, light years. And now with ChatGPT on the heels of that, I just can't even imagine what the future will look like for my kids or their kids or their kids. I mean, we are accelerating at an exponential rate. And the question is, are we taking off too fast? Will we derail? Is there a threat to the human race as a result of this? Could this AI, in some respects, turn on us? And it sounds like a movie, but it raises, I think, some important questions. As I said, I'm joined today by Dr. Eugene Gahn. I would encourage you to check out his book called Infinite Bandwidth, Countering Christ in the Media. It's available at emmausroad.org. His website is Eugene Gahn, and Gahn spelled G-A-N, .weebly.com. Pretty easy to remember. Doctor, let's pick up on this. You've got some of the leading minds saying, wait a minute, we need to at least pause because there's a rapid race by everybody to develop this technology far more powerful than anybody's experienced with ChatGPT. Is it possible they're concerned that this could get out of control, cause wars, possibly even somehow turn against humans? Could it become more intelligent than us? How do you see that?
Actually, there are so many things in what you asked. I'll take that last part there when you said, could it become more intelligent? I'm already rather cautious about the use of that word and how it's being thrown around, especially with regard to artificial intelligence. There are people, there are groups that want to drop the word artificial from the phrase artificial intelligence, saying that this is intelligent stuff. I would be cautious about saying that. It's not an artificial human at all because, you know, honestly, think about this. If you really wanted to create an artificial facsimile of a human being, you've got to imitate a whole slew of things, including our concupiscence.
That's true.
You know, it boggles the mind, and I really don't want to go down that rabbit hole of thinking what it would be like to have an artificial intelligence, an AI system that has concupiscence, that could sin, as it were. You know, it's a horrible thought, and I want to do what St. Paul says, think about the true good and beautiful there.
Is that possible, though? I mean, is it possible?
Well, yeah. I mean, look at how recently with the journalist using ChatGPT and having the AI tell him to leave his wife and things like that.
Yeah, I know.
It's horrible stuff. Now, and then going back also to what you had said about right now with this letter out asking for the 6-month pause is actually written by the Future of Life Institute, amongst others. First of all, that's great. I appreciate the fact that they want to slow down. They're saying that we need to observe this. We need to have some kind of regulatory board. I mean, think about it. You have nuclear power, for instance. Yep. Right? We have regulatory boards for that because that kind of energy, that kind of power could affect us in really negative ways. And likewise with AI. So that's good. I want to say that. However, there have also been a number of voices right now expressing concern that if we slow this down here in the States, you know, China is not going to slow down their development. Russia's not going to slow down. Other countries aren't going to be slowing down their development. Where does that put us as a country? And six months is a long time in technology time.
No, I agree. That's what I had that conversation earlier today with somebody. I said, do you think China is going to stop or Iran or anybody else who kind of leads in computer programming? No way. The development that they can achieve in 6 months and we're sitting on the sidelines is not going to happen. I'm sure our government is not going to sit on the sidelines. But, you know, I think Elon Musk and the rest of these guys, they see a potential harm.
I hope so.
And how do you hold these agencies accountable? You don't.
Right.
You don't.
Right. I sincerely hope so. There are other voices that are claiming that, well, this whole call for a pause is really just so that they can catch up and not be sidelined.
Yeah. That's true. That is very true. Is it possible? And I'll go to the phones. We'll take a few calls here, too. If you want to get in, 888-914-9149. You can call now. I'll grab your calls in just a second here. Let me just take the other side of the table here. I mean, I see the tremendous potential with this. I also see the tremendous threats that loom. Are the claims that we're hearing, are they exaggerated? I mean, are people reading too much into this? I know this is in its infancy right now. What do you make of those who say, oh, come on, this is harmless? I've seen I saw both point and counterpoint, people making cases for both.
Well, first of all, AI itself is not in its infancy only because we've been developing this for decades now. I mean, I was working on this 30 years ago. And still keeping up with the development of this technology, I will say this, though. This has gone way faster from fall last year until now. The development, the push, the explosion of this has gone way faster than I could have predicted, I have to admit. The very fact that AI has an interface now that your average person could just access and use, the fact that it's integrated right now as we speak into Microsoft's Bing and its search engine, that really says a lot. It's moving so quickly. It's impacting every aspect of life. It's projected that we're going to lose 350 million jobs.
Yeah, no kidding. It's frightening. I guess my concern here, Doctor, is just the transparency. I don't know how you get to that, but you're right about the jobs. I was reading a report a little bit earlier today. There is concerns that AI can give radiologists a run for their money. They can give pharmacists a run for their money.
Absolutely.
We know it's passed the bar exam. You know, there's a lot of technology, a lot of positions that can be used. You know, one of my producers is very concerned. Will this replace me? I'm like, of course not. It'll never replace you. But we already have shortages in certain areas, but this could create an epic labor shortage. But let me take the counterpoint, too, to this. Let's go back to the invention of the automobile, right? That guy who was, you know, fixing wagon wheels,
you know, thought this newfangled device is never going to take off. You know, that's ridiculous. Look at that horseless carriage. I don't ever look at these roads, right? You think that's never going to take off, right? It's never going to become another industry. That wagon wheel guy, that blacksmith is probably, you know, years later was like, oh my gosh, did I miss the boat on that one? Give me your assessment on, because with the new technology, new industry came up. You had, you know, Eli Whitney, and you had a whole lot of different things that came out. Not the cotton gin. I'm thinking of Ford and the Model T that was developed. And, you know, so there's new industry that crops up as a result of this, you know. So this could be a good thing in terms of work. We're thinking that we're not going to, you know, have enough jobs, but maybe there'll be new industries we can't think of yet.
Absolutely. There will be new industries we have not thought of yet. At the same time, it will require that people to go into those new industries would need to, in some form or fashion, be familiar with AI, be using it, be integrating them into their jobs. So, yeah, there is a concern for how this is going to be done. So, for example, well, actually, the thought just I'm not sure how it connected, but Ray Kurzweil just yesterday, the news was out that he predicts that by 2030, we would become immortal, that we could use technology to become immortal. So at the rate that this is going, my concern is that it will not just simply change things. It will change the way we are familiar with things. And then it starts to move people away from truth, goodness, and beauty, from the fact that objectively there is a God and he has a plan for us. And right now society seems to be looking, at least the vibes I'm getting as I'm going into forums and reading what's going on, is that people are treating AI as a God, as idolizing it.
Let me do this. Let me grab a quick call for you. Stan, who's in Northern Nevada, I think is making a similar point. Stan, thanks for joining us. You're on the air with Dr. Eugene Gahn.
Hi, Stan.
Well, yeah. Hi. It's nice to talk to you. My concern is that prayer is such a beautiful thing because you read scriptures, God's talking to you. When you pray and you're meditating on those scriptures, you know, you're talking to God and you're getting direction. I'm wondering, this artificial intelligence might like want to replace prayer, so to interfere with your communications with God and try to undermine God's influence here. That's what concerns me. I listen to logarithms where they can figure out how you think. I do my own research if I use Google.
Right.
All of a sudden, they're giving me things I don't want that I have to spend extra time researching. Right. It goes on and on.
Stan, it's a slippery slope. I see what you're saying. Can it be a major distraction from prayer, doctor? And we can pick that up.
Yeah, the first thought that jumped into my mind was that I thought the same thing, too. So what I did in one of my presentations with two students and some of my colleagues was I created an AI avatar who introduced me in my own talk. And and normally before every talk, I would pray with my audience.
Yeah.
What I did was I had the AI come up with a prayer and pray that prayer as an avatar. On the screen.
Wow.
And I just watched my colleagues and my audience, my students, as that prayer was being prayed. Some people were not sure. Do we make the sign of the cross right now along with this avatar? I mean, it sounds like a real prayer. It is a real prayer. It really. But it was really uncomfortable. And we talked about that at length. What are those feelings? Where did it come from? And why? So, I agree. But just to be clear, the AI is not praying. The only way that we can pray or is to communicate with God is to respond to our Lord. And our Lord is the only one who can give us a spark of life, who can give us that
Amen
soul.
To that. No, I agree with that. I've got to take a short pause. When we come back, one of my colleagues just walked in and was showing Maggie something that the AI just did for them. It took 2 minutes. And he says it is a game changer. When we come back, I'll share with what one of our engineers just had the AI do. And we'll talk more. Only a few moments left with Dr. Eugene Gahn. If you want to join us, I'll go back to the phones at 888-914-9149. Stay with me.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
The Chaplet of Divine Mercy, coming up live.
Yeah, it's about 10 minutes away. Looking forward to praying with you. We'll pray for the future. We'll pray for our country. This is why it's so important to have well-formed hearts, right? Rational, well-formed thinking, right? Conscience. Let's pray. Let's pray for all those parents out there, all those people who are looking to use some of this technology for nefarious purposes. If you're just joining, we're talking about artificial intelligence, and there's been a lot of buzz about Elon Musk and a number of other industry experts who are, they issued an open letter calling for a 6-month pause on developing systems more powerful than OpenAI's newly launched GPT-4 that's out there. And here's the thing. We were talking with Dr. Eugene Gahn, who's with us, and we'll grab a few of your calls. Right now, robots, in addition to this intelligence, are growing in sophistication. They're being employed as security guards and window washers. There's food delivery, fry cooks. We talk about it. And they're predicted to soon have greater presence in warehouses, and you can understand that. They're going to be aides to the elderly. They're going to, be aides to pharmacists and to radiologists and to so many other places. There's a question: what's this mean for the future? What's it mean for jobs? We talked a little bit about that. My colleague Ilio Ramos just walked into our control room where Maggie is, and she's on the other side of the glass from here from me. And Maggie, you got to share with everyone what he just showed you. I got a quick glimpse at it. Pretty impressive.
So Ilio and his wife Liz, they do marriage seminars on the weekends sometimes, and so they had one this past weekend, and he said, Maggie, you've got to take a look at this. He said, normally I make a presentation, a PowerPoint presentation. It takes me a couple of days to put this together normally. He said he found an AI that he just gave a basic instruction to, I need a PowerPoint about communication and marriage. And I said, did you feed it any paper or outline or anything? He said, no. In 2 minutes... it had a fully put together PowerPoint with beautiful images, studies, stats, outlines. And I was like, what? He came in here and showed it to me.
I looked at it. I had a quick glimpse at it. And I'll tell you what, super impressive. He said, Drew, it would take me 3 and 4 days to do this normally. 2 minutes. I said, well, what was the content like? He says, 90% there. I just got to go through it now and fine tune it. But it's there. It's only going to get better. That's the thing. It is only going to get better. We're exploring what I believe is really a crossroad right now, a pivotal moment, I think, for the human race. We're on the advent of a major change, and it'll impact you, your future, and especially your children's future and all that come from them. I'm joined by Dr. Eugene Gahn. And Doctor, correct me if I'm wrong. You did your doctoral paper on this? I know you did something when you were getting your doctorate. On AI.
Not on my doctorate per se, but before that, I was at Carnegie Mellon and I was working on AI. Yeah, I was trying to get it to create art because I do art as well. I paint.
Cool. That's great.
And so I wanted the AI to actually create art the way I would train it to. And it created all this artwork that it's similar to art. And not all sorts of art, but in that one category that is similar to artwork you might see in a bank or in the lobby or of a hotel or something. So, yeah, it was doing that.
Yeah, you can ask it to show you Darth Vader landing in a cornfield in 1492, right, and in a Renaissance art, and it will paint that. Although I asked it to do the Divine Mercy image for me. I said, create an image of Divine Mercy in an impressionistic style. It couldn't do it. It gave me weird statues. It didn't seem to like my request.
There you go. It's showing you how it's being trained. So I had it create some – I tried to have it create some icons – and it was doing a really horrendous job with that because there was no accurate symbolism, none of that in icons. So, yeah, it's how it's trained, absolutely.
Let's do this. Let's grab a couple quick phone calls. I know how fast time's going to go. Grateful for everyone's patience. Georgina is listening in Paso Robles, California. Hi, Georgina. Good afternoon.
Hi, Georgina.
Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call. There is a tremendous amount of clicking on this phone.
Yes,
after you call.
Yeah, and Georgina, I apologize, but we cannot hear you at all. So we'll try to circle back to you. Let me go to Michael in Columbus, New Jersey next. Well, thank you for your patience, though, Georgina. Michael, good afternoon.
Hi, Michael.
Yes, I think artificial intelligence and all these computers are messing up in a major way in the United States. More than that, if you get a corrupt politician behind these computers, who knows? You could wipe out your complete bank account and whatnot. And I hope not. I just hope not. But you don't know. I don't know how far these things can actually, in a sense, go.
Yeah, it's a good point. And Doctor, you can respond to that. They can write malicious code. You know, that's for sure. We know they can hack. We might see some major hack of some major institution one day. But your thoughts on his concerns?
The latest news is that now ChatGPT can access the internet. You know, prior to this,
prior to
a few days ago, it could not. And it can run programs right now. So yeah, I actually had it write a program for me just as a quick test, and it spit it out before I could even finish manually writing the first line without error. It did it without error. And so if you can, and right now it can upload and download files. So imagine, for example, that it with these plugins, it would be able to access your data, your personal data, your emails and your chats and your texting and all that. So it already has a profile of you. I mean, these companies have a profile of you. The very fact that you're using them for free, quote unquote, it's not really free because you're a commodity to these corporations. So they have a profile in you.
Yeah,
and the AI can access that and know about you, upload stuff, download stuff now. So, you know,
one can
imagine the possibilities for nefarious activities here.
Let's go to Chris in Phoenix, Arizona next. Chris, thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
Hi, Chris.
Yeah, so, hello. I just wanted to thank you for taking my call. My name's Chris. I'm in Phoenix, Arizona. I've lived here about 40 years, and I've read the Bible several times. Mm-hmm. And I used to wonder about this in the book of Revelation. Everybody would talk about the beast and the false prophet, and they said it was given unto the beast to have power over every nation and tongues, mm-hmm. and those that would not build that kneel down and worship the beast, they would be killed. And so I think this is we should not be afraid. Yeah. It's prophecy being fulfilled.
Chris, let me hold you on that point. I would like the doctor to respond. You know, there's a talk of not being able to buy and sell and things along those lines. You could see if we go with a global currency of some sort, or if ChatGPT, you know, if there was some sort of other, you know, ChatGPT, if there was some sort of other you know, mandate from the government, you know, if you don't get vaccinated, then you can't do X. You could see how this AI could really play a role in that. What do you make of the prophetic? And he was referencing Revelations.
Well, I certainly would pay attention. As scripture says, we do want to watch the signs of the times. You know, when our Lord talks about the weather and it changes, we want to watch. We want to pay attention. We do not want to be hiding under a shell. We certainly want to be alert and vigilant. Our Lord wants us to be vigilant. You know, does it say in Revelations? It does say in Revelations there about the, quote, image of the beast. And it makes me wonder, huh, image of the beast. Is this an image of what's going to be coming, or what of that message being pushed through to us?
Well, Doctor, I am grateful for your time. We'll have to pick it up again another time. My apologies to everyone on hold. Please check out Dr. Gahn. His website is eugenegahn.weebly.com. Last name is G-A-N. eugenegahn.weebly.com. His book is Infinite Bandwidth, Countering Christ in the Media. That's available at emmausroad.org. When we come back, we will pray. We'll pray especially for the Pope. I don't know if you heard the news regarding Pope Francis. I'll fill you in.